Hello and welcome to Her Ambitious Career, the success podcast for corporate women who want more from their lives and careers. Each week, we share career and leadership strategies to help you set stretching goals, own your value, build visibility and credibility, gain recognition, get paid, and confidently take your career to that next level. Whatever your ambition, let's do this thing. Now, here's your host and career success expert, Rebecca Allen.
Ladies, welcome on in. Today we are looking at this topic, leading with ADHD, which I'm really, really looking forward to explore because I have never, ever had a really in-depth conversation about ADHD, let alone leading with ADHD. So I'm really, really excited to talk about this today. So I'm joined today by Holly Stanton. Hi, Holly.
Hey, Beck.
And maybe, Holly, just to start, you could share a little bit about your career history and how you've got to the role that you have today at Salesforce.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Beck. It's really exciting to be here.
It's brilliant.
Fantastic. So my career. So I started, I guess, as I came out of university, went did the usual travel around the world for a year, which was fantastic. Nice. Then I got into my first job as a graduate working for a Swedish company called Ericsson. I was based in the UK and I started in a marketing role. That then led me to London, which is where I was desperately to get to. Born in London, but grew up around Cambridge. But I was desperate to start living and working in London because that was a big dream. So I managed to get to London, landed myself a job in London, and was there for a couple of, was in a role for a couple of years in a marketing role. From there, I then got into account management. So I used to work in the telco space. So started at Ericsson and then I went into SMS and bulk delivery of SMS. And this company, I worked for a year and a half there from an account management point of view. And then I moved into I was given the opportunity to move over to Australia. So it was a fantastic opportunity that I jumped at, having traveled around the year previously and fallen in love with Sydney. So I ended up in Australia.
Bondi, no less.
Yeah, Bondi. Yep, still here. And I was in that role for I was in the company for about 5.5 years and absolutely loved it. It was a great company to work for. And more importantly, it got me to Australia. And then I moved into a company called Adobe, which you may be familiar with. And I was there for 5.5 years in a very similar role, in account management role, which is now called customer success. Then I had a 2-year sabbatical after those 5.5 years with Adobe. Had a 2-year sabbatical where I traveled around the world. I lived in 15 different countries for 15 months, which was wonderful. And then I came back to Australia and then I started at Salesforce, which is where I am today. So I've been here for just over 3 years.
Beautiful. And you're in customer experience now?
Customer success, post-sales role. So when the technology is sold into the customer, it's my job to help with that adoption of the technology and help the customers with that.
I love that. So that's obviously a totally different role, but it's a kind of obvious segue from stepping stone from being in account management.
Absolutely.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. So I really want to get stuck into this ADHD conversation. And I'm really grateful to you for volunteering to share this, because this is obviously going to be a very personal story. And I wonder if you could start us off by telling us about when you were first diagnosed, if diagnosed is the correct word, with ADHD, and how you reacted to that.
Absolutely. So ADHD stands for attention deficit hyper disorder. It's quite a mouthful. So attention deficit hyper disorder. So, and it is, they call it a disorder, they call it a diagnosis, you're absolutely right, Beck. And it's a common behavioural disorder that affects around, so they say, about 20 adults. Mm-hmm. And until recently, they're saying that scientists believe that children outgrew ADHD during adolescence. But now they absolutely believe goes into adulthood. And subject A here, I guess, I was diagnosed 3 years ago at the ripe old age of 42. So I think some of the challenges that come with ADHD or neurodiverse people, as we're called, are things with trouble focusing, hyperactivity, and impulsive behavior. And I can absolutely relate to all three of those. And it's quite funny because when I actually got diagnosed 3 years ago, literally 3 years to the month, I kind of realized 2 years prior. So while I was on that sabbatical during my travels, I actually realized or thought that I may have ADHD. And it was it came about from a conversation with a good friend of mine who was actually, when I was traveling, I was in Prague at the time, and so was she, and she was a fleeting visit. She was there for a conference, but we got chatting on, and she recently got diagnosed with Asperger's, and it was fascinating to me, and we were chatting and the conversation carried on. And then she started asking questions about my life, etc. And I started talking about what was going on traveling and a couple of challenges that I'd had recently. And she suggested that I perhaps look into that. So I jumped on Dr. Google, jumped into Dr. Google, as we all do, started researching, and it was like a light bulb going off. It was very strange. And I started writing lists. And you start doing this reconciliation around, or you start reconciling around your history and your life, your university and your learning, your school and your work and your relationships, and then your behavior and how you react to certain things. Yes. And there were so many things that kind of light bulb moments that were going off. It was pretty scary. It was so bizarre. And so I guess I realized that I was 6 months into my 2 year break and traveling around the world. And I thought, there's no point in me getting a diagnosis. I'm in Europe at the moment. I'll wait until I get back to Australia. So that's exactly what I did. Yeah. So when I got back to Australia, I started my new job. And within the first 3 months, I realized that I really needed to go and get my diagnosis. And you'd think that it would be easy or straightforward, but it was far from it. Unfortunately, to find a decent or specialized psychiatrist is really, really challenging. However, I did find one. It took a couple of psychiatrists to find that one. And the wait list was something like 6 months. I had to go through a very terrible psychiatrist before I actually met my specialized one. And yeah, my current psychiatrist is amazing. He's a wonderful, wonderful human being.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so that was...
How would you describe, Holly, you know, leading with ADHD? How do you find it either helps you or hinders you, or neither of the above? Like, how do you find, yeah, it kind of impacts you at work in a corporate setting?
Yeah, it's a funny one because you do a lot of reconciling around what's normal and what's not. And because I don't know any different, this is just me. And so many people and so many friends at the very beginning, and my partner, because I'd only met my partner just after I got diagnosed. And so I'd say, well, do people do this normally? Is this me? And it was quite confusing. And I've just got used to kind of working out what my idiosyncrasies are and what is ADHD and what that label means. But in the corporate environment, I mean, I've had incredibly supportive managers. One especially around when I got diagnosed, she was absolutely wonderful. And we had a very open and honest relationship, and just I felt fully supported by her, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
Some of the challenges, it's the focusing, it's the inattentiveness, not being able to get tasks done, especially when you're busy or stressed. And I say that with a caveat. Admin is any ADHD's worst nightmare. It's our nemesis. It is absolutely horrific. So I can do anyone else's admin. I can do admin at work, but my own personal admin, I'm really fascinating. Nightmare at.
And so how would you describe admin? What does that look like at work?
I won't tell you about how many years my tax is outstanding. it's bills, everything else. Unless you've got things set up in direct debit, it's until that red notice comes through and you pay it. Right. It's absolutely that ridiculous. Okay. Your car rego, it's e-tolls, it's just that basic life admin. Right. And what's interesting with ADHD is that I read recently is that if you've got, and I've done this before without even knowing this is a thing, if you've got somebody sat next to you or somebody with you and you say to them, please help me with this, you can do it. And I remember when I went for my PR, and a very close girlfriend of mine, I said to her, she said to me, why haven't you done your PR to become a permanent resident of Australia? So I'm like, oh, I just haven't got around to doing it. And she said, well, what do you need? I'm like, oh, I don't know. I need all these documents, all this paperwork. She said, And she said, would it help if I come over? And I said, yes, I'll cook you dinner. You come over and you tell me what I need. And I literally had everything there, and it was done and dusted in an hour. And it was just because she was there and she said, right, these are the things we need, pull it all together. And I've done it. And it's so strange that I can do admin for other people. I've been completing application forms for some Afghan refugees, which is 40 pages in length, which I would literally bulk out normally, but I've been helping them. I'll do somebody else's admin, but I don't know what it is about doing your own personal admin, but it's such a struggle.
An attention thing, really. I mean, it sounds like fundamentally an attention. Is it an attention to detail thing, or is it an attention to something else?
I don't know, because it's strange, because my job is very detailed. And so I have vast amounts of data and data points that I'm collecting all the time with work. I'm speaking to a myriad of people. I'm pulling assets together for customers, and I'm brilliant at multitasking. But you've got, and people say that multitasking is nonsense. For an ADHDer, it isn't, because we've got, somebody said it's like having 50 different channels open in your head and somebody else having a remote, and you're just constantly jumping around. So it's really fascinating. But another thing that you do is you tend to jump in and answer questions. So I almost have to sit on my hands and leave myself on mute during internal calls, so I can give airtime to other colleagues in my team. So
it's really fascinating.
Being a bit aware of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, having gone through that journey in the last few years of not knowing that you had ADHD to doing Dr. Google and sort of researching the symptoms and the, you know, the behaviors to suddenly being diagnosed and then having that treatment as well and that support that you didn't have before, how would you say, you know, it's impacted you specifically at work from not knowing and, you know, just dealing with it or coping or whatever the word is, to moving to the other side to where you are now?
Honestly, it's like night and day. As soon as I found out and as soon as I got that diagnosis, the relief was massive. And actually talking to a specialist to understand that this is quite normal, what's going on in my head and my feelings and my behavior and what's going on, it was huge relief. And that support that specialist gave me, and having done a ton of research, got on YouTube, spoken to other people with ADHD, it's really fascinating. So now I can actually spot it in others, which is also fascinating. But from a work perspective, we do things last minute. We leave everything for the last minute. And if I had advice to my earlier self, it would have been, you can only leave things to the last minute if you know what you're talking about and you know what you're doing. And so for many years, when I was kind of flying by the seat of my pants in some of my roles, it was just absolutely just not possible to do. And I couldn't get away with it. So I could have actually failed in certain parts of my career, but somehow I didn't. But now, knowing what I'm talking about, being a specialist in my role, it really does lend to kind of a very fulfilling career.
I think the thing you touched on earlier, I thought was interesting, that, you know, you needed that support and that security to share where you were with your manager at the time, and that she was extraordinarily supportive, which gave you that massive security just to let it go and just to be you and just to accept that this is the way it is now. And that sounds to me like quite a crucial turning point. Like, if she hadn't been that way, I think that could have been, you know, quite a challenging scenario for you.
Absolutely. I mean, she was the reason why I joined Salesforce. She's been a massive influence in my life, and she was a phenomenal mentor to me. Sadly, she's no longer my manager. I do have a great manager now, so I'm very happy about that. But yeah, she was incredibly supportive at the time, and she'd created this wonderfully psychologically safe environment for her team to thrive. Yes. And that's why working for her was absolutely hands down the reason why I started working, other than obviously knowing that Salesforce is an amazing company to work for.
Yes.
But
only good things about Salesforce. I think, I mean, that's kind of an interesting thing in itself from a leadership perspective, you know, to understand that people need that security and that safety to, like you say, to thrive. I actually spoke with a lady recently on one of the episodes, Lorraine Lee, and she was talking about the same concept. She was talking about the idea that if you're going to be a leader, you need to, and you want to innovate, you need to have that safety for yourself to innovate, then you have to give that safety to your team to innovate. And I really like that concept that, you know, safety is such a paramount sort of tool, skill that you can give to your team when you're leading through whatever, whether it's crisis or otherwise, but it's just about creating some sort of security.
Yeah, because we all go through different experiences at different times. And at the time, she had quite a big team. She had 20 people and direct reports, which was pretty nuts. But 20 people and different personalities and different backgrounds and different experiences, that's creating that environment for that amount of people to feel safe and nurtured in order to thrive. It was quite something.
Yeah,
it really was.
Out of interest, just to finish, Holly, I'd be interested to know if you feel like, you know, with the self-awareness that you have this diagnosis of ADHD, do you see that it kind of gives you any sort of superpowers, any sort of real kind of skills that you hadn't really appreciated were skills or strengths or talents or something like that, that it gives you? Like you mentioned, you know, being an ideas kind of person and wanting to share, which I see as a massive strength. Obviously, if you can hold yourself back and let other people speak as well, that's obviously also really good. But just being able to have opinions and share those opinions, being confident to share, like, do you feel like it kind of gives you some sort of special advantage sometimes?
I don't know, really. It's really interesting. My mom has always taught me to be, she's a very strong female in my life, as have all the women around me, and I gravitate towards strong women. So I don't know whether ADHD potentially, but it's interesting that the diagnosis wasn't until I was 42. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens apparently with a lot of women. You've got coping skills and coping mechanisms, and I'm a very big people person. So socially, I've always been very sociable. So I've kind of probably hacked my way through life and got through so many parts of my life. I've kind of triaged or managed, because I have, with ADHD, I've since learned that I have learning difficulties. And it's going through that ADHD diagnosis of looking back, it's like, yeah, that makes sense, because I really struggled with certain things in my life. I'm very creative. I learn by doing. I learn with people. I'm not very good at sitting, reading nonstop. It just doesn't work for me. So kind of just reconciling all of that and going through kind of, because I'm a people person as well, being in a customer success role is just a no-brainer. So just helping others be successful, whether it's colleagues. I'm a massive collaborator. I love teamwork. So I don't really know whether there's kind of any superpowers, apart from the multitasking one, which sometimes it's a blessing and a curse, because you've got a million things on the go. And some of them just, you start a lot of projects and don't finish a lot of projects.
Yes. One of the things that I find interesting is that I think whenever you do any strengths-based work, because I'm very strengths-orientated in my approach and coaching, is I think when you have these realizations, because this is a really big realization that you must have had, like a big eureka moment, oh, that would explain that and that would explain that. I actually think it's really freeing when you understand these things more deeply, because you can say, well, that explains why I'm not comfortable, why I don't feel resourceful, why I don't feel strong doing that thing. And just stop doing that thing, whatever that thing is, right? And just set yourself up for success, which sounds like a real kind of phrase, but it's true. It's like, why don't I just focus on where I'm really good? Like you say, a customer-facing role is absolutely spot on for you. You know, it's just finding the right role, but also the right tools and the right skills and the right day-to-day skills that set you up for success. It can be a massive, massive benefit, I think, learning these things, because then you just say, okay, I'm not going to do any of that stuff anymore. It's just not where I'm strong. I'm just going to focus on this stuff.
That's exactly right. And to add to that, it's also the people that I'm surrounded by.
Yes.
So it's absolutely all of that. And it's absolutely fundamental to a good, solid, healthy working environment, especially for somebody with neurodiversity who just struggles. If you've got a micromanager or somebody less empathetic and doesn't understand you or has no desire to kind of work out what your strengths are, it's really fascinating. But I'm like you, I love Gallup strengths. Yes. Yeah, fascinating to me.
Absolutely. Holly, thank you so much for coming on and sharing such a, you know, personal story with us. I really, really appreciate you coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
I really appreciate it when our guests share their really vulnerable, really personal stories with us, because it's not often that you get such an interesting insight into how to lead
with ADHD. And I found that it was so interesting for Holly that as soon as she got diagnosed, it actually opened up a flood of doors for her. It was a really positive experience to go through that diagnosis and to understand what she really needed to thrive. So if you're interested in your career and your career progression and your career success, then that's where we come in. We are a career success business and we've been in business for over 13 years. And I would love to gift you one of our free resources if you are looking to get promoted very, very soon. You can get hold of the 7 habits of female execs who get promoted by just heading over to rebeccasfreegift.com and it will land straight into your inbox. And I look forward to seeing you ladies next week.